You're listening to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast with Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. I'm Matt Adams with Mike Chappell this week. Dave Griffiths on the road covering the Big Ten Conference Tournament with IU in action today and Purdue in action on Friday. IU plays at 8:30 tonight. And I cannot remember if it was on BTN or where it was. But
that's probably on Peacock just to make me mad.
Yeah, and then Purdue is a noon game tomorrow or on Friday. By the time you've listened to this podcast, probably those games are over and we all know who advances. But as of this recording, we do not. But Dave's on the road in Minneapolis checking that out and covering it for Fox 59 and CBS 4. So, Mike, free agency this week. We had the tampering period open on Monday, and then we had the new league year started on Wednesday when we got some of these signings to go. Colts, you know, I know people will say the Colts really didn't do much, but they did make several moves. I know it's not bring in this guy and this guy and this guy, but they kind of took care of their own, as you like to say.
Yeah, two things. I vowed to not use legal tampering as a phrase again, because if it's legal, it's not tampering.
Yeah, I hate the phrase too.
And I'll have to catch myself because it's the two-day period where you can talk to other teams' players.
How about the early negotiation
period?
There you go.
And I think that's what the league's calling it now. But yeah, we were talking before the year. What I want fans to do, and I understand the fans. I understand where they see players go from team to team and big money and big name players. I just want people to make the right argument regarding the Colts. Don't say they don't do anything in free agency. Say you don't agree with what they do. They have, and I'm not a Colt apologist. I'm just stating the facts. They have earmarked over $200 million, close to probably $100 million guaranteed, in free agency. It's just that they've opted, as they normally do, to re-sign their own. And you can argue that boy, I'd rather have had Danielle Hunter, which they had an interest in. They did, and the price got too high or he wasn't ready to sign. So it's just if they don't, and this was one of those odd years to where they had a lot of players up who are very, very good players. Yes, they're not the people that people or the names that people know nationally, but if you don't re-sign Kenny Moore, you got a major problem at corner, which you've already got a problem at corner. If you don't re-sign Grover Stewart, you've got a problem with your run defense. You know, and Zaire Franklin, Michael Pittman's a little different. He was going to get his $27 million anyway. But the people they re-signed were very good players. And this is the byproduct of when you do your roster the right way, you draft correctly. You know, Zaire Franklin was, again, he was a seventh-round pick. The second linebacker they took in the seventh round. Kenny Moore wasn't a draft pick, but they brought him in off waivers in 17. When you get the right players and it comes time, you want to retain your own guys. I was told, you know, by someone with the Colts, every player has warts. It's better to know the warts you're dealing with as opposed to someone else's warts. So if you want to argue that they've not gone out and spent big time in free agency, you're right. And I've always said, give me a receiver or two in free agency. I just do. But just argue the fact that they're not spending that money where you want it to be. They are spending the money, and they're not done yet. We were talking, and we'll get into it on your nice outline here, they've still got holes at corner. They've still got holes at safety. And I think they're going to get it. It's a very deep, proven market for veteran safeties, and I think there's going to be a veteran guy signed at safety. But they're not done yet. But just, again, argue the right argument. And they spend, it's just not spending where a lot of the fan base wants them to spend it.
Well, and I think when you think of somebody like Danielle Hunter, the problem with that is not only did he sign with a different team, he signed with a team within the division. And so you're like, oh gosh, you know, we didn't go after that guy. And now we're going to have to play him twice a year. But they, as you said, they went hard after Hunter. They just probably got outbid, probably in the guaranteed money or something in the contract.
Yeah, and again, that's what, there is only so much money to go around. And again, the cap you can do just about whatever you want with a cap.
It's pretty magic.
But guaranteed money, that's guaranteed money and signing bonuses and all that. And you can sort of defer some payments. Again, I wish, and we've argued this on our show, I would much rather have a pass rusher who is my guy, who's my catalyst, as opposed to this sack by committee that they're going with. But, and again, maybe they'll find an edge rusher. I doubt it. Those guys go quickly. You can predict which areas go quickly, and it's pass rushers, and it's tackles and all this stuff. So, but we're like 3 days into free agency. 3 days. So let's let things settle down. And really, if you wanted to be honest, let's wait till the draft is done to see where they are. And right. Then if we're sitting here in May and they still have corner issues and they still have safety issues and there's still another receiver here, then the fan base and the media has a reason to complain.
And it's just tough. We don't see a lot of edge guys hit the market, and we saw a couple of them in Hunter and Jonathan Grenard from the Texans, which essentially was a free agent trade, more right. or less, between those two teams. All right, let's get down to some of the Colts signings, re-signing most of their own in free agency here. The first reported move that I can recall from Monday was Zaire Franklin getting an extension. 3 years, $31.26 million was the report on that. And for Franklin, it was a year early for him. He was not ready to be a free agent, but the Colts wanted to get him extended and give him a contract that is kind of commensurate with the level of play they got from him.
He was in the last year of that three-year, $10 million deal that he got as a core special teams player. And the Colts knew. They just knew he was underpaid. This was a case where a player had grossly outperformed the contract. They knew it. And again, these guys reward their own. They do. And they could have made Zaire play on this contract, the last contract, and it would have been wrong. So good for him. I've not seen any guarantee what the guarantees are, but again, he's one of the great stories. I would compare he and Gary Brackett to what they've done, where they came from. Remember, Gary Brackett was an undrafted guy.
Rutgers?
Rutgers. Yeah. And he was a walk-on at Rutgers. So it's great to see these guys kind of pay their dues, come up the hard way, and then when they get there, they get rewarded. Brackett got a good contract, too, when it was time. And Zaire, again, he breaks the franchise tackle record 2 years ago, and then he does it again last year. So good for him. And again, a lot of these guys, when you hear him throw around he's a horseshoe guy, you know, whatever that means. These guys fit that mold almost to the T of what you want in your locker room.
I read the transcriptions from the Colts, and Franklin said that they had been having conversations about this contract going back to last November. So,
yeah, he admitted he lied to us, because there were times we talked to him and said, yeah, you know, we'll see, and, you know, he never get let on, which that's what you do. But, again, I've always said we need to have media exemptions in signing players. There needs to be, you know, we need to have some, you got to re-sign this guy, you got to re-sign that guy, because they're great in the locker room. Michael Pittman is great in the locker room. Zaire Franklin is great in the locker room. So we always need those guys that we can get good comments from.
And speaking of Pitt, he was the second reported move that I could recall. He, of course, got the non-exclusive franchise tag from the team. As he told it, they were pretty close to a deal. We suspected they were pretty close to a deal. They just couldn't quite close it by the time that franchise tag window hit. So they put the tag on him. He knew he was not going anywhere.
Yeah, and he told us this, you know, that he wanted from the start. He said, you know, the franchise tag wouldn't be a bad thing. It was, you know, whatever it was, $21.8 million. And he wanted, you know, as he told us in January, you know, I owe it to myself to do due diligence and see what's out there and get a sense what's out there, what's the best fit. And he said, I asked him, I said, so is any the best fit? And you didn't get a chance to see what's out there. He said, they never gave me the chance. He said, Chris Ballard never let me get out there to see, which is kind of what the Colts wanted to do anyway. I still believe that he might have gotten a better deal, more money, average year per year on the open market, but this is a great deal, I think, for both. And I wrote about it. I think it's a win-win for Pitt and the team. 3 years, you know. And he mentioned, yeah, maybe after 2 years we can revisit it, because of the way the market's going to go off the charts. What, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb. You know, $25 million is going to be not the market. It's going to be higher than that. So what it does, it gives the Colts 2 or 3 years to really determine, is Pitt that guy? Can he really take that next step and add a deep threat to his game? And can he really, really be one of those top, I don't know, 10, 12 receivers in the league? And for Pitt, he's 26. He's going to be eligible for another contract when he's 29. So that's why this really is a good contract. It was $46 million guaranteed, which is roughly the cost of two franchise tags.
That's what I was thinking. That's
it
what
was
I noticed, 21.8
and then 20% of that. So, and I think that's how this is structured. Well, if we had to franchise him twice, this is what it would be. So it just works. And the idea that if his career continues on its upward arc, that he's going to hit it again when he's 30 or 29 is really impressive for him.
And so that was a three-year deal, reportedly worth about $70 million with some incentives that could push it past the $71 million mark. Grover Stewart, the defensive tackle, monster in the middle 3 years, a reported deal worth $39 million for Big Grove. We saw what life was. It might have been the most fortuitous six-game suspension a player could have for Grover Stewart, because we saw what that defense did from the run standpoint when he was out
of
there.
It was like 150.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
A full yard per carry average difference when he was not in there. So you don't want to ever see your guys get suspended, but from a market standpoint for Grove, his value to the team, you saw it in stark terms.
Yeah, he sort of benefited from a six-game suspension. You know, when you see what your defense was without him, and we knew his value, but it was just kind of thrown in everyone's faces. Yeah, this guy does make a difference. They didn't have qualified players to fill in. And we'll get to it in a bit. Now they've got a guy to support him with Raekwon Davis. But Grover is, and again, he's another one of those stories that he's still here. And he said, I'm a country boy. He thinks Indianapolis is a big city. It is a really big city. Says he still doesn't like the cold. But these are the kind of guys that bring value on the field, yes. But in the locker room and what they bring to the team is really enormous.
And we've got Kenny Moore coming back, becoming the highest paid slot corner in the NFL. A reported deal for $30 million over 3 years for Kenny. Undrafted guy. He didn't start with the Colts. He started with the Patriots. The Colts picked him up. He didn't quite meet Chris Ballard's measurables for what he likes to see out of his secondary players. But there were scouts on the team that were like, personnel guys, you got to get this guy. He's special.
They wore him down.
And they wore him down. He did it. And, you know, he's going to be a Colt for at the end of this contract. He'll have been a Colt for almost a decade.
Yeah, and a nice byproduct is they don't have to take his mural off Lucas Oil Stadium. They can leave it up there.
No thanks for the memories up there for Kenny.
What's really funny is Kenny took exception last year, I thought, because we always called him a nickel corner. He said, no, I'm a cornerback, dog. I'm a cornerback. Well, now they're really pounding home the fact he's a nickel corner, which is not a bad thing. It's just, because they've got so much value to play in the nickel. And he was the highest paid nickel the previous contract he signed, and he is still. So, and when you've got such a young secondary with Branson Jones and whomever else, we saw the issues they had even with Kenny back there. With communications. I mean, how many times? 5-6 times where they were pointing at each other like, I thought you had him.
So I will not forget the Rams play there to Puka Nacua right before the game-winning touchdown. You could tell Kenny Moore is trying to communicate with Juju Brents. Something went wrong.
And he got by free. Himself.
You know, so, but yeah, no, I think it's really important of these signings. They all have different importance levels, but I think it's very important that they kept Kenny Moore just because they've got that young secondary. They didn't make any other moves necessarily in that secondary yet that we have seen. We're just a few days, as you pointed out, into the free agency period. But they really needed to bring him back just from an experienced veteran leadership level. And so they've got him. Another guy, 2 years, $12 million, Tyquan Lewis, the pass rusher, versatile guy, can play inside, can play outside, came off a couple devastating knee injuries, had a very productive year for the Colts. A1 job bringing that guy back.
And you know, he was never going to get the massive contract. This is a good contract for him. I think that's $6 or $7 million guaranteed. And we talked to all these guys yesterday, and he's been one of my favorite guys. He's got such a great attitude. He's just totally committed here. And like you said, what he's been through, the two, what they were, patellas.
Yeah, patellar tendons.
It's different knees at the same time of the season, 2 years apart. And he's just, is he a great player? No. But when he plays at two or three different spots, there's not a major drop-off in production. And sometimes he gives you more inside, outside, and he's just got the high motor. Rotation, there's a place in the NFL for rotational players. There just are. And he's a perfect example of it.
And a couple articles I read said that Tyquan had gotten some interest from some other teams this year, which wasn't necessarily the case the last 2 years because of those devastating injuries that he'd suffered. And it was kind of like, well, I guess the Colts are about the only place I can sign. This year wasn't necessarily the case. There were some other teams interested, but he wanted to just come back because, you know, maybe the offer wasn't as that much better than what Indy's doing, and he likes being here. So
and maybe they've got something building here. We'll see. But he's a part of a defense that's sort of forming. They still need pieces, but it's a lot of the guys who get the attention are the Pittmans and Zaires and even Kenny. But these second tier players, and I don't mean that to be a knock, are so important. Some of the guys they re-signed will get Ronnie Harrison. It at some point you have to address the depth in the middle of your roster, and that's what they've done as well.
Also getting deals, a deal, Rigoberto Sanchez, not brain surgery here, 3 years, $7.5 million for Rigo. He was an undrafted free agent, I believe, when the Colts plucked him out in 2017. He replaced Pat McAfee. And again, at the end of this contract, he'll have been here almost a decade.
I've got a list. One of these days I'll bring it in. Of since 84, all the punters, field goal kickers, and long snappers that have been here. And it's not a long list. They get these guys and they go with them for a long. First of all, they get the right guys. You know, like one of the longest tenured Colts in seasons and games is Justin Snow. You know, a long snapper. So I'm a little surprised that Rigo didn't get a better contract. This isn't as good a contract as he got last time. But it's good money. He's there is something to say on the comfort of being where you're familiar with a good team, a good franchise. His family grows here, so good for him. And again, this is one where you've got your special teams locked up for a couple of years now because they got Matt Gay last year, and they signed Luke Rhodes to an extension. So this is one part of your roster you don't worry about. You just got it done.
And I realize that it's, hey, I just signed a contract with this team that's going to pay me millions of dollars. But one of the themes throughout many of these players is that they like the direction that Indianapolis is going in. They like the head coach, and they feel like by staying together that they're going to be able to accomplish some good things next season.
Right. I mean, the more we see and the more we get into the offseason, what we're going to see is the hot teams, who's really the team to watch this year. And right now it's Houston. And they've done some – I like the direction they're going. They've
absolutely,
got,
100%.
They've got young players in key position, in the prime positions. And I keep going back to – and it's true. And I keep going back to the fact that the Colts were that close to beating Houston in the last game of the season, and the Colts are the AFC South champ. So how close are the Colts? I don't know. But there's not that monster gap that maybe the perception says there is between the Colts and Houston. And we'll see about what – we can talk one of these days about the division. But, you know, Tennessee's made some big moves. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, it's just hard to know what to expect because of how badly they faded last year. All of a sudden, this is a pretty good division.
It is shocking how fast the division has turned around after, because going into last year, we're like, this is going to be a dumpster fire for all these, right, AFC South teams, and end up being a pretty impressive year for a few of them. And then Jacksonville, who we thought was one of the class teams of the AFC, just bottom dropped right out, as you mentioned. A couple other signings for the Colts. Edge, Jannard Avery. We don't really have a whole lot to go by on him. He spent all of the regular season on the injured reserve. It sounds like this is just kind of a one-year deal just to kind of re-sign, keep him around. Colts need edge rushers. If he can have some athleticism and maybe provide a few sacks on a rotational basis, that is what you need from this guy. And then the other defensive player here, linebacker slash safety, Ronnie Harrison Jr., a safety who was converted into a linebacker, played linebacker, and then had to go over and play safety because of the injury to Julian Blackman late last year. 1 year deal for him. Unlike the others, the Colts all talked about these other moves. We have not seen anything official on as of this recording of the podcast, of course, on Ronnie Harrison Jr.
These will be close to minimum deals,
right.
some kind of a guarantee. But again, this is what I'm talking about. You need to. It's good to go into the early part of the off season with knowing who some of your second tier players are, because you don't want to. And there've been a year or two where they've not known, and then you're scrambling. So do they bring Danny Pinter back? I would because it would be a low risk, low money deal. But that's what you want. You want to make sure that injuries happen, and Ronnie Harrison gives you that versatility. Danny Pinter gives you versatility on the inside of the line. We'll see where that goes. But while it's important, it's important to re-sign these starters, these frontline players. You've got to take care of the mid-level players as well.
Well, and Harrison only played, I think, 5 games last year, and I can think of a couple impactful plays that he had just even – as kind of the fill-in guy.
Right.
So good to have that versatility back, get him on a reasonable deal. Now, we do have a couple of departures here. I don't think any of them are really any big surprises. Isaiah McKenzie, who I've got 3rd on this list, not a surprise at all. We widely expected him to depart because of the suspension. He is going to go and play for the New York Giants. He was suspended with Tony Brown at the end of the season. The Colts immediately got rid of Brown, and now
he just re-signed somewhere.
I think it might have been Cleveland.
Maybe.
If I'm remembering correctly. And then McKenzie goes to the New York Giants. Now, the other one, Gardner Minshew. 2 years, a reported $25 million deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's going to have a shot.
$15 million guaranteed.
Yeah. And you look at what the Colts ended up doing at backup quarterback. We'll get to that in a minute, but they brought in Joe Flacco. They were just not going to pay that amount for their backup quarterback.
I was joking yesterday in the media room that Gardner Minshew needs to, at some point, kiss the scar on Anthony Richardson's shoulder, because it gave him the chance. And it gave him the chance to play an extended time. And to his credit, he maximized it. He just did. And had he not gotten that opportunity and done as well as he did, he wouldn't have gotten that kind of money.
No,
$15 million guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken, is more than he's made in his first 5 years. So life and the NFL is all about timing. When the time comes, were you in the right spot? Did you maximize your opportunity? He did. I don't have high expectations for Minshew with the Raiders. I just don't. I the longer guys play, the more you see their how low the ceiling might be, I guess. But my forever thoughts on Minshew is he was the reason the Colts were in a position to win last year at the end, and I thought his low ceiling was a reason they didn't. I guess both can be true, but good for him. Good for him. Good for Zach Moss going to Cincy. With the way they sort of rearranged their backfield, getting rid of Mixon and bringing in Zach. Zach's a good player. Again, it's one of those where would the offense have been last year without Minshew and without Zach Moss? We saw what happened in the opener.
We saw what happened
with
Deion
Jackson. I mean, holy smokes, with Jonathan Taylor dealing with whatever you want to say he was dealing with, and Zach Moss had the broken forearm, and the running game was awful. And on top of that, there were like 2 or 3 fumbles.
Yeah.
So where would they have been without these guys? And this will give Zach Moss a chance to be more, because he showed that when they were without JT, that he was like top 5 in rushing in the league.
He showed he could be the guy,
right,
if you gave him the chance to be
right,
the guy. The problem is you got Jonathan Taylor ahead of him. And
right,
he won't have that problem in Cincinnati.
Correct.
So hopefully with a good quarterback there and everything, it'll work out for him. So those are your big 3 departures there. Well, I'm going to call them big 2 departures. Minshew and Moss, and then McKenzie, I guess the 3 M's there.
You could throw Tony Brown in too,
yeah,
because he's in departure.
Too. And he had been, I guess it's not a free agency departure because they had waived him.
That's true.
And then a couple of rivals. The first non-Colts player to agree to terms or at least get an agreement with the team is Raekwon Davis. He is a massive 6'7", 325-pound defensive tackle from the Miami Dolphins.
Somebody put a photo out of him and two other defensive linemen. He's massive. He's
gigantic. This is a reported deal for a couple years for $14 million. I can't remember what the guaranteed is on it, but boy, you know, one thing that we noticed is, obviously everybody noticed when Grover Stewart was out of that lineup, there was not anybody to kind of take his place and be a run stuffer there. This guy can do it.
Well, and again, and maybe he can take some load off of DeForest Buckner at the three technique as well. That's not what he is. But when we talked to Chris Ballard at the Combine, he's talking about get more explosive on offense and defense, and you know we're never going to ignore offensive and defensive lines. That's going to be a bedrock of what they do. They want to have eight or nine guys on defense that they can play up front. They run those guys in there, and I think they would really like to ease Buck's load a little bit to where, and I'm not saying he's not effective in the fourth quarter. I'm just saying to where he's going to be in better position to make plays in the fourth quarter.
So eventually players run out of gas. Right. So if you have to play a guy all these snaps because your reserve is not effective, then that's going to have an effect on the back end there. So, you know, and they brought in Taven Bryan last season, and that was kind of supposed to be his role, and it never really developed into anything.
Not against the run. It just wasn't.
Was not there.
No. And so, again, it's not a surprise. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, again, that they add somebody else. Now, whether it's in the draft, whether it's, you know, a later free agent with the offensive line. And the defensive line room to me seems pretty loaded right now as far as bodies, people. But they're never going to stay away from. Look at some of the better free agent signings that they've had defensively with go back to Jabal Sheard, DeNico Autry. They've really brought in people that have been players and made a difference for a long time, so it's really impressive to see.
I mean, and my first thought was, boy, that is a Chris Ballard signing right there. Because you mentioned those other signings they've made, and you always think about him talking about, oh, we're going to be strong at the offensive and defensive line. Well, there you go. That's why they brought that guy in. And then one thing that has really kind of hurt the Colts the last, for a while, is they never had never felt like they had a reasonable backup quarterback plan sometimes. And so they tried to solidify that this year with Gardner Minshew leaving. They're bringing in Joe Flacco, who was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year last season.
And what's funny is like 3 years ago, this would have been a move as a starter.
Yes.
These were the guys they brought in as a starter with the Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan. And this is one that it's always frustrating because I had known that he was on the radar, but I was told to keep it quiet, so I did. So then I cussed when it came out last night. But this was a great situation. I think that from what I read in the last week, that Flacco really wanted the opportunity to go somewhere to compete for the starting job. And boy, those jobs, they just dried up really, really quickly. So this is a great situation for him. It just is. And to be a mentor for the young quarterback, I wish I knew, and the Colts will never say, I wonder how much of a mentor Minshew was to Richardson. I think he was a guy to sort of like, watch what I do. Just see how I do it, as opposed to a hands-on. Of course, there was a lot of the time when Richardson wasn't here after the injury. But this is ideal. And they sort of prepared us for this type of a signing because we asked both Ballard and Shane Steichen, would you prefer to have a quarterback similar to Richardson's skill set as opposed to, you know, a Minshew type of guy, mm-hmm. who really wasn't? And they said, yeah, ideally you'd like to have a guy to where it's similar to what your starter is. But what Steigen said, and he's right, is once you get going in the season, that guy doesn't get any work. So it's not like that he's sharing reps. And even this year, Richardson's going to get almost all the reps with the first unit because he needs them. But you probably couldn't sit down and find more contrasting styles than Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco. You never know what Richardson's going to do or be. You know where Flacco's going to be. He's going to be right in the pocket.
And we were just some of my friends and I here, my coworkers were talking about this morning, and we were just like, oh boy, can you wait to see Joe Flacco in the running the RPOs out there? But you know, then we thought about it the other way too. Is yeah, there's a certain skill set that Joe Flacco does not possess and never has possessed in his life. On the other hand, he still has a live arm. So you might be able to get some of those downfield passing plays that
Alec
you could
Pierce
not get.
Alec Pierce has to love this type of a quarterback.
Exactly, exactly. So even though you don't have that athleticism, you might have the arm stuff that you also get with Anthony Richardson. Some of that stuff may be back into your playbook where you couldn't necessarily do that with Minshew because of some of his limitations.
I go back to the Manning years when they just didn't have a reliable backup quarterback. They just didn't. Part of the reason is they couldn't get a guy to come here because
they knew they weren't going to play. Ever.
Well, or practice.
Or practice.
Or practice. I mean, one of the few veterans that came here was like Mark Rippon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I always remember one of the great Tom Moore quotes is if Peyton goes down, we're, you know, screwed and we don't practice that. Well, yeah, we saw last year the value of having here with Minshew, look in Cleveland. They started four quarterbacks. You've got to have somebody come in, and you hope. I was texting somebody with the Colts. I said, this is really a good signing, and it's one that you hope he never plays.
Say best case scenario, Joe Flacco's out there when the Colts have a 3-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter.
Right, right, because I think the contract's not huge. It's not a huge contract. It could be up to $8.7 million.
That's the max, but the guaranteed is like four, three, or something like that.
We worry so much about depth at receiver. Who's the fourth guy? Who's the third guy? Offensive line. How about quarterback? Don't just have some guy back there who knows your system and can't run it very well. So this team believes it's a division contender. It should believe that. Further than that, I don't know. But if that's the case, the moves they've made show you that they're going to take all the measures to ensure that if this guy goes down or whatever, they've got a capable guy going in to replace him.
It is interesting that as quarterback needy as a lot of these teams are, and I understand not wanting to invest much in a quarterback who's, you know, nearing 40 years old, but as well as Flacco played last year with a very good skills position players with the Browns, it is surprising that he didn't get a little bit of a sniff from some of those other teams.
But the spots landed or fill up so quickly with Minshew and gosh, who was it? Mariota signed.
Yep. Tyrod Taylor, which was the guy that I had hoped,
right?
Because of about a skill set that translates from Anthony Richardson to Tyrod Taylor. He's a little bit older, yeah, but he can still do some of the same things. He was off the board really quickly to the Jets.
And if you wait another 2 or 3 days for whatever, either to get him cheaper or whatever, then he goes somewhere else, and then the backup pool is really, really thin of guys you can say, yeah, I can see if AR goes down and misses three games, we can win with this guy. I think they can win with Flacco now. 12 games or whatever, like with Minshew, I don't know. But you've got to have a guy who can come in short-term and keep things going on an even keel. And that's what again, Flacco, comeback player of the year. And he, you know, he earned it. And quarterbacks play long. They just play a long time now.
I saw a few reporters covering the NFL and stuff saying that they thought Justin Fields would be a good fit for Indianapolis. And from a skill position standpoint of what he can do and what Anthony Richardson can do, it makes some sense, but in other ways it makes no sense.
I think internally they've talked about it. They did talk about it. And the compensation, I was told right now, is too high, whatever that is. I mean, are they still wanting a two? Are they wanting more than that? And the skill sets are so similar with Fields and AR. We were talking before we went on the air. I wonder what the dynamics would have been with Richardson and Justin Fields. As soon as AR has a couple of bad games, well, you're going to give Justin Fields a chance.
Exactly.
is that a road you want to go down when everything to this point says that Richardson's your guy and he's going to have growing pains? You've got to deal with it. It'd be really cool for a while to have Fields here, but boy, I just wonder the dynamics of the locker room, and not between the players, but just about how the expectations of when things go rocky, how quickly should they move to Fields? That'd be tough.
Yeah, and being such a young player too, and then you would have if you trade for him, then you'd have a decision to make on what to do with a long-term contract for him. It's just, to me, it's pretty messy in order to do that. But, hey, you're always looking for guys who can play, guys who are athletic, and I guess I could see it from that standpoint. Now, the Colts do have a few outstanding free agents who they've not yet made as of the recording of this podcast, I have to say, with each time to qualify that. But they're still waiting a decision on a few of these guys. Julian Blackman, their excellent young safety, unfortunately, has had some injuries. He's still out there. Taven Bryan, who was a free agent pickup from last year, didn't quite work out for the team this year. Jake Martin, who was another pass rusher from the Colts that is still out there. And then Danny Pinter, who Mike mentioned earlier this year, a very versatile guard center for the Colts. So you think any of those guys stick around, Mike?
I think Pinter does. I bring Pinter back. I mean, he sort of showed that he's not a guard because he lost a guard job. Was it 2 years ago? But the year prior to that, he played very well at center. Mm-hmm. And again, he's not going to cost you much. He'll cost you whatever guaranteed money you want to give him, which won't be enormous. It would sort of be like bringing back Tyquan Lewis last year on the 1 year deal coming off the serious injury. And you need to have, as much as we talk about the defensive line, they like 9 or 10, 8 or 9 guys. That's what you want on the offensive line. You want 8, 9, 10 guys, if possible, who give you the depth of where if something happens, and something always happens, it seems, on the offensive line, come play. Blackman maybe comes back when I've been told that he wants top safety money. He's not going to get top safety money. It's enormous. You know, a lot of these guys, the top 10, 15 guys, are making like $15 million a year. Well, he's not – I mean, come on. You're not going to get that. Now, if he sees it's not out there and he comes back here and the Colts get him for a short-term deal for, I don't know, $5, $6, $7 million, I could see that. But he was just – as much as I talk about timing being important for players, I mean, coming out – having the injury issue, yes, he's young. Yes, and he's shown great skills, but the injury issue is a concern. So I think wherever he goes, whether it's here or somewhere else, it'll be on a 2-year deal for modest money to where, hey, if you play good for 2 years, stay on the field, the next contract will be your big one.
And not helping Mr. Blackman very much is that it's a pretty robust veteran safety market. Some teams, because they got in salary cap hell or whatever you want to call it, release some very good players because they got to dump salary, or they're getting ready to do a big rebuild and they've just got to reload and get younger. So you've got some excellent veteran safeties out there that are probably going to be a notch or two ahead of Blackman in your pecking order.
Yeah, I feel safe in saying that at least one of the starting safeties isn't here yet, and it's going to be one of those guys. You'll get him on a 1-year deal. It always happens when after the first 4 or 5 days of free agency, when all the crazy money goes, then you're going to see the 1-year deals to where, okay, it didn't happen this year, maybe next year. I think they signed one of these guys, these veteran guys who are proven and aren't over-the-hill type of players, and they're going to get him for a modest price, and one of these guys is going to be their starter.
It seems like they find somebody like a Rodney McLeod every few years,
signing.
Who was an incredible signing, that mid-tier veteran free agent. Colts have had some really good hits from there. All right, let's take a look real quick just around the AFC South, because obviously the Colts play those teams twice a year. The Texans were big spenders and big players in this offseason. Danielle Hunter, the edge rusher there, signs with the Texans. He gets quite a pretty good contract. I forgot to write it down here.
I think it was like $49 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. They had Jonathan Greenard, I think, had 12.5 sacks for the Texans. Texans last year, but the Vikings signed him, and then the Texans signed Hunter. So it was kind of a free agent swap there, if you will. But in addition, they got Joe Mixon, and that is a good pickup for a Texans team. That
was
just,
a seventh round pick, was it?
Yeah, for a seventh round pick. Because, and the Bengals were just going to release him outright was the report
Initially, it was announced that they did release him. And then it was like, well, let's see what we can get for him.
Yeah, and then they and what they can get is a seventh round pick, which if you'd rather get something out of somebody than nothing is better. So, but
Zaire
that's
Franklin
a good
was a seventh round pick.
Right. You never know what you can get out of it. So that's a really good pickup for the Texans. They also signed DeNico Autry. That'd be a name
I hadn't
familiar.
Seen that one initially, but DeNico can just play.
Just a great player. Continuing his tour of the AFC South, if he can get another contract.
It's kind of like Andre Johnson went through all through the South.
Another contract, DeNico can go sign with the Jaguars and complete, get the complete set there. He was a great player, a really, really good player for the Colts. It was tough to lose him, and he had some good years in Tennessee. And then also linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair for the Texans. They had earlier re-signed Dalton Schultz, Noah Brown, the wide receiver, and then Kaimi Fairbairn, their kicker.
I like what Houston's done. I really do.
They have done, I mean, you look at where that team was just the last couple of years. You get the right quarterback, everything just falls into place. And I would not have been upset if the Colts ended up with C.J. Stroud, and it's fun to see him in the division.
That's why, again, all of this stuff they've done, it's that all these teams do, it's quarterback-driven. If you got the right guy, you got a chance. A lot of the people, and I understand, this will be a little rabbit hole we go down. I understand the criticisms of Chris Ballard in his first 7 years. I understand it. What is it? Two playoffs, is it? One playoff win? And just not where they need to be after this long. But it's not because of what they've done in free agency or not done in free agency. They've done very well, I think, overall in free agency. It's about they could never get past the Andrew Luck thing. And the quarterback held these guys back. Well, that's on them. You know, yes, the Andrew Luck thing was a punch in the gut. But at some point, you have to get past it. And so much of what they've not done has been because of getting the wrong guy in a quarterback in free agency, whether it was Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, it just didn't work.
Yeah, they kicked the can until finally the bottom fell out and they were forced to no longer do that.
Right, and that's why we've talked. Richardson has to be the answer. He just does. And he gave us every indication that he will be. But if he's not, here you are again in a year or two trying to find your guy. And when you're always chasing the quarterback, is he the guy? Is he the guy? Your roster is getting older. Michael Pittman's getting older. Jonathan Taylor's getting older. Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly. So I've always said, and I still believe it, it's worse. What's worse than not having your quarterback is to have a guy you think is your quarterback, because you just sort of muddle around and you know, man, maybe, and your roster gets older. So Richardson gives him a chance. C.J. Stroud is the reason that Houston is where they are.
And they're confident that they can build around him and make these moves and field a good team.
With prime position players.
Right.
Which is that's the way you do it. And then you find other guys. I mean, not just slappies. You got to have guys who can play. But when you have the quarterback, the receiver, the pass rushers, they got pass rushers.
So they've already got Will Anderson out there.
Right.
Good complementary player. So, I mean, another rusher is a good complementary player for him.
Right. So, again, I like where it is, but it's so much quarterback driven. Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, last year was just still hard to figure out, but they still got Trevor Lawrence. Tennessee, Will Levis, I don't know, but he's got a chance.
And he'll have Calvin Ridley to throw to.
That was an interesting story, too.
It was, yeah, because the whole time it was Patriots or Jaguars, Patriots and Jaguars in a bidding war, and then, oh, no, he's going to sign with the Titans, and that happened last night.
Well, someone, I don't remember the name, and I'm not going to call him out, but somebody put team sources tell me that Calvin Ridley's re-signing with the Jaguars, and like 3 minutes later, he's going to Tennessee. So I'm sure that the guy is sort of looking at the source and saying, really? Really? You just hung me out to dry.
Life comes at you fast. It's kind of like the other night, he wasn't doing any reporting. He was just kind of speculating. Stephen Holder, he was like, boy, I'm hearing, you know, maybe like you, the Colts have some interest in Danielle Hunter. And then just like a couple minutes later, you know, they have the Texans thing. And he's like, man, life comes at you fast.
Life comes at you fast. So that's what's crazy. I mean, the first couple of days, I spent Monday in Canton doing some Dwight Freeney stuff. We'll get to that one day. He's such a cool guy. And that's when all this stuff happened.
Yeah, it was not a great Monday for us.
I'm on the road, and I'm driving, and I pulled over on the interstate two or three times for stuff. But I didn't cuss him out, but I told Ballard I didn't appreciate him doing all this stuff when I was out of town.
Well, it stunk, too, because when the Zaire Franklin stuff first came down, which was the first news, we had had a hit-and-run crash downtown Indianapolis, and we'd gotten the probable cause affidavit for that. I was the only digital producer on duty at the time. That has to take priority, unfortunately, so I couldn't get to Zaire. But then I saw Pitt, and I forgot that you were in Canton. And I was just saying, hey, did you see Pitt's deal? And he's like, no, I didn't. Can you handle that? And then he's like, I'm in Canton. Oh, crap, that's right, Chaps in Canton. And then they just kept coming out with more stuff throughout the day.
And last night, we get back from a long day at the Colts complex where we had access to all these players, which is really cool, and get the story done at, I don't know what it was, 6:30, 7 o'clock. I thought, you know, I'm hungry. So I go out to get something to eat for the wife and I. And I'm telling you, I swear to God, as soon as I left, he signed.
Joe Flacco.
Joe agreed to terms. I've always said that if you're ever, and we joke in the media room, if you want something to happen, be out of the loop for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
If you're waiting for that phone call, the best way to make the phone call happen is to be away from your phone for 5 minutes. But this week is just crazy. Again, they've had, 9 or 10 player moves, more to come. But the first week is always crazy. The first two or three days are always crazy. But that's why the NFL is so cool. It just is. It's the interest is incredible over players changing teams and players getting this kind of money, that kind of money. But that's why the NFL is such a strong force in the sports universe.
Now, Ridley's contract is reportedly $92 million over 4 years with $50 million guaranteed.
I would rather have A.J. Brown, they had A.J. Brown.
They had him. It's still one of the most baffling things. That guy, just a game changer, and we'll just trade him.
That had to be, again, I don't remember the dynamics. Who was the GM at the time? Robinson in Tennessee?
And
Vrabel. Somebody pulled rank or whatever. It's so hard to get quality upper tier players. It just is. In the same time, Baltimore got rid of Marquise Brown, traded him to Arizona or somewhere, because they didn't want to deal with the contract of a young top level player at his position. And I would have given AJ Brown this deal and felt better about it. He's younger and all that, but that's one reason if people are upset with what Pittman got. This is what you do. Yes, would you rather have Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase? Of course you would. There's only a handful of those guys. And that's not, I'm not dumping on Pitt at all. He's such a quality player. Everybody doesn't get the top three at their position, the Joe Burrows and Josh Allen and Mahomes. And you've got to make do is such a bad phrase. But you've got to be able to be strong competitive without that guy. And that's why these guys, when you get them, boy, you keep them. When you got A.J. Brown, you keep them. When you get Michael Pittman, you keep him.
And then a couple other signings for the Titans. Tony Pollard, that's a good pickup for them too. Lloyd Cushenberry, the center, is going to be a steadying force for them. And then their backup now will be Mason Rudolph from the Steelers.
Who would you rather have, Flacco or Rudolph?
I would say probably Rudolph because he's just a little bit younger. But I think from an experience point, I think Flacco is probably your better bet.
It's somebody put a list out about all the quarterbacks who've changed teams. God, there's like 10. I mean, names. You know, Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, yes, and on, which is a really crazy. I saw he's going to count $85 million in the next 2 years in dead money. Yes, you can do what you want with the cap, but guaranteed money has got to be accounted for at some point. It does. They're counting, the Colts are counting $8 million on Shaq Leonard's contract this year in dead money. So, but it's just crazy. Be careful what you invest in the future. That's why, again, the Colts would prefer to re-sign their own. They know the strengths and weaknesses of Kenny Moore and Zaire and Michael Pittman, as opposed to bringing in a guy that has had good numbers and all that, but how does he fit in your locker room and all that? So it's much better to re-up your own than it is to go out and get players who've got name value and have been good, but you just don't know.
And the Jaguars, I feel like they had a fairly quiet offseason so far. They did re-sign some of their own guys. I didn't go and list them because I'm not deeply entrenched in their roster. They did get one of the bigger names in the free agent wide receiving market with Gabe Davis.
I like Gabe Davis.
Good player. I think he's a good complimentary receiver on any team. And then they have also finalized a deal to trade a sixth-round pick to the Patriots for Mac Jones as their backup quarterback, which – I don't know. I just, like, he's still a young guy, and Lawrence is a young guy, and I don't know that I would have traded to have Mac Jones as a quarterback. But
Mac Jones is one of those cautionary tales, and we're going to see, despite all the movement of quarterbacks this offseason, I still think at least four are taken in the draft before the Colts were at 15. And, again, one guy had five, if you want to put – who was it, Bo Nix, and who would have been the fifth? Bo Nix and – I don't know who the other
would it have been. Penix. They have
maybe it was Penix, because
or JJ McCarthy.
It was McCarthy.
Probably.
I'm still baffled that people have him going top 10, and I watched him play half a dozen times. And I'm thinking, I just didn't see it. Maybe that was what Michigan didn't allow him to do. I don't know, but it just reinforces the idea that you're going to do, to some level, desperate things at quarterback, because that's how important that guy is. But Mac Jones is one of those. It didn't work. Maybe a fresh start. How many fresh starts in the Sam Darnolds and all those guys? Mm-hmm. You know, well, maybe this place works, and maybe the guy's just not good enough.
It happens sometimes. There are some still free agents. Obviously, still probably dozens upon dozens upon dozens of free agents still available. We talked about this a little bit before the show. We still feel like the Colts need to add to the secondary. Whether you're looking at a safety, whether you're looking at a veteran corner of some type.
Let's not totally write off L'Jarius Sneed.
Okay.
I don't want to stir up the fan base, but the Colts have some level of interest. I think. They're not, you know, too keen on the compensation it might take. I don't really think the contract, it'd be the draft picks it would take to get him for the Chiefs to agree to it. So, and we saw what Stephon Gilmore
can do. It's like he got here a year too early.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Imagine what they could have been if they could have just retained, or if Gilmore had realized that the team was going to
I wouldn't have trusted the team.
I would not have.
No, I would not have. Let me out of Dodge.
I would not have. But just imagine if he had been on that roster last year, just a completely different picture there in the secondary. A couple of safety options available that caught my eye. Justin Simmons, a really good player from the Broncos. Quandre Diggs from the Seahawks. Some cornerbacks still out there. Kendall Fuller, who was a guy that's from the Commanders and had been sort of those, if you read one of those articles, like, hey, cornerbacks the Colts should go after. This was a guy that was often on those lists. You've got Gilmore after his year with the Cowboys, and Xavier Howard as well. Some wide receivers still available. Mike Williams got released by the Chargers because of his giant cap hit. He could possibly re-sign there on a more cap-friendly deal or probably go somewhere else.
Mess.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They've got like four or five out of the top 10 biggest cap hit guys.
None of them Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and yep. None of them's their quarterback. It's insane. I like Tom Telesco, but I guess when you look at the situation that they're currently in at a cap, it's not really a mystery why he's somewhere else.
Well, yeah, it was these contracts and bringing the wrong coach in.
Yes.
It just didn't work. And then, of course, Tom's in the Raiders now. He's a good friend. But, boy, it just didn't work out.
Something went terribly wrong in the Chargers as far as getting their contracts in line in the last few years.
They had four of those guys counting $150 million. That's just insane. And they always had the star power in with the Chargers, and it just didn't work.
And now it's your mess to clean up, Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Right. So some wide receivers, like I said, Mike Williams, Marquise Brown from the Cardinals. Michael Thomas got released by the Saints after playing there for several seasons. Tyler Boyd still available from the Bengals.
I like Tyler Boyd.
And K.J. Osborne from the Vikings as well. Just for fun, the Colts aren't necessarily in the market for a quarterback anymore, but some of the top remaining guys are Jimmy Garoppolo, who got released for cap reasons in Las Vegas. You got Ryan Tannehill, Josh Dobbs, and a quarterback with the initial CW.
We don't mention his name. We don't mention his name.
He did not play for a team last year. We'll just say that. I did read a couple of reports that the Colts were having some interest in A.J. Dillon from the Packers.
I saw that, and I've not heard anything about that. But the guys they sign now will be, for the most part, especially running back, will be at their price.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're offering you this. Well, I want more. Well, then go somewhere else.
Yeah, go find another job.
That'll differ with a safety or a corner,
right.
I think. But they need a backup running back. They do. But I think they're of the belief, probably correctly, that they can find a guy in third or fourth round.
Yeah, I think so. And we've seen a lot of teams just kind of do that. Unfortunately for the running back position, as we've seen the devaluation of it over the past few years.
Although three or four of those guys got pretty good contracts.
They did get good contracts.
Saquon Barkley,
yeah,
pretty good
nice
contract.
Nice deal from Philadelphia. And then, where did Josh Jacobson go? Or Josh Jacobs go? I cannot remember.
I've drawn a blank as well.
Will, you can look. Just Google it.
Right.
It'll be there for you. I didn't put it in our notes, and I should have. We already talked a little bit about the Legarius Sneed trade, so that'll kind of do it. I mean, whether or not that happens, as you think it's probably over draft compensation, what the Colts would be willing to give up.
Because you know what he's going to get contract-wise. Now, if they would decide to do that and the compensation suits their purpose, it's going to be – he's going to be your corner, your top corner for the next three or four years.
Yes.
For the next three or four years. Because this will be one of those big contracts. So, but maybe it's one that the longer, kind of like Justin Fields, the longer you hold on to a guy, the less you're going to get in compensation. So maybe they'll wait until whatever the Chiefs want to move on from him. But I'm just simply not closing the door. I'm not saying, hey, we're on watch. I just think that it's something I'm not going to close the door on.
Well, I mean, free agency is far from over. As we said, we've always seen the Colts sign a mid-tier guy later in the period, so that'll probably happen. But we're really looking now ahead to getting your draft board set, looking at your mock drafts and figuring out, you know, what the Colts need, and you can argue that from a lot of different standpoints. I'm saying wide receiver is a need. Obviously, anybody in the secondary as well.
I think what's really gonna if they stay put at 15.
Yes.
Which good luck with that.
You look at what they did with their free agents, and it's very possible they're just going to trade down and get extra second round pick.
I think what's going to determine 15 is it a receiver or a corner, or maybe a tight end if Bowers is there. Do they believe that the receiver group is deeper? And you can get a good guy at 45 in round two, or is the cornerback, you know, which one's deeper to where you can get that guy in the second round? I just would prefer to get, I said, I'm going to default everything to help on the offense. Let's say you get one of those receivers, one of those top three, probably not top, it'd be the fourth guy probably, if you look at the mock drafts. Maybe that guy is really something. And when it comes time in two or three years to re-up Pitt, you say, well, you know, we got this 2024 first round pick who looks pretty good. And then you don't give Pitt 30 or 35 million a year. So all of that plays into it. But the draft's going to be here before we know it.
So it's just a little over a month away. So, and we'll be talking about that for the next few weeks on the Colts Blue Zone podcast, keeping you apprised of anything that happens with free agency or any other of those re-signings that we haven't seen. So,
and one thing you've got on here that it bears mentioning is it's the May 2nd deadline.
Oh, yes.
For the fifth-year
yes.
extension. And I thought I looked at it, and I think it's correct that it's like $12.8 million.
That's what we had discussed.
Right, because yes. I was stunned that he didn't meet – playtime incentives
right.
to get a little bit higher than that. Is Quiddy Pay worth $12 million in a fifth year? I don't know. I think it is. It's not an exorbitant number, but that's another decision they've got. I'm sure they've made it. They're not sitting there in a month saying, "But what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?"
Yeah. Now maybe something. If you get a guy, let's say they get a pass rusher at 15, then maybe you don't do it. But there's still so many moving parts.
And then, so we'll have the draft. OTAs for the Colts should begin around April 15th. The draft, April the 25th through the 27th in Detroit. So we'll be talking about that for the next few weeks as we, like I said, set up your draft boards and try to figure out what we think the Colts might do or what would benefit them the most. For Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths, I'm Matt Adams. This has been the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. Thanks for listening.